Welcome once again to our series, The Universal Call to Holiness, or Wholeness, or Wholesomeness, given us by Vatican Council II and repeated in his multitudinous talks across the globe as the Pilgrim Pope John Paul II. We've been talking about the oppositions or the obstacles or the hindrances to holiness or wholeness with our guest, Ron Eldred, who is professor at religion and world history in John Paul II Catholic High here on the campus of St. Patrick. I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Moran, the pastor emeritus here at St. Patrick's at 19th and Poplar. So welcome once again, Ron. And we've been discussing the world, the flesh, and the devil, as St. John's Gospel talks about the oppositions to our struggle up the mountain of holiness, the world around us, the flesh from the confusion and conflicts within, and of course the devil, the spirit that is corrupted and corrupting that the fallen angel Lucifer from heaven. So we talked about recently, how do we keep our intellect from digesting poison? How do we purify our will? And now we're talking, according to Father Jordan Ammann's great directions, how do we deal with difficulties in keeping our imagination purified and in the right directions, giving us the colored movies that is always bringing up?
Well, the imagination is our ability to form mental images. Every idea that we have corresponds to an image impressed upon the imagination. And without images, the intellect can't know anything. Father Ammann says that because of its great importance and influence in our thinking and behavior, the imagination needs a profound purification. When used for good, it can be a great benefit to our sanctification, that is, to our holiness. But he warns that, quote, there is nothing that can cause greater difficulty on the way to sanctification than an imagination that is broken away from the control of reason, enlightened by faith, end of quote. Father warns that, quote, freed of any restraint, the imagination paints in vivid colors the pleasure sin provides for the concupiscible appetite, or exaggerates the difficulty the irascible appetite will encounter on the road to virtue, thus leading to discouragement. However, he states that we can avoid difficulties with our imagination if we use several different means, and so we're going to share with our listeners some of his advice in this regard.
Okay, now may I back up just one moment? Could you say something about the concupiscible appetites and the irascible appetites that are powers within us?
Concupiscence is just simply the word that we use to describe our desire to sin, which is a result of our fallen human nature. Irascible, I guess he would just simply be talking about an uncontrolled appetite to commit sin.
Okay. All right, so here are some means that he suggests that we can keep this wild picture-making power of our imagination under control and don't let it run away like a rebellious colt.
The first piece of advice he gives us is custody of the senses. And of course, again, keep in mind what we mean by senses. We're talking about our ability to see and hear and feel and or touch. Taste, dealing with all of our senses. Because all knowledge gets to us from outside of ourselves through our senses into our intellect. And then, of course, stored in our memory. And then, of course, used by our imagination as images are presented to our intellect at different times, either in dreams or, you know, daydreaming or even when we are conscious and trying to produce certain kinds of images. But these images have to be stored there before we can use them, before the old, in other words, the video or the movie has to be made before you can view it.
And whatever, or replay it.
Or replay it, yes. Mm-hmm. Going back now to the custody of the senses, the imagination is fed by images provided by our senses, that is hearing, feeling, tasting, smelling, and seeing, especially the latter. Seeing is probably the most important of all the senses as far as the development of the imagination. Father Amon says that, quote, it is necessary that we control the senses because they provide the images the imagination retains, reproduces, and reassembles that arouse our passions and encourage the consent of our will, end of quote. I've often, over the years, in teaching middle school kids and high school kids, told my students that to be very careful what they read, what they look at, what they listen to, because the object's perception will be stored in their memories for the rest of their lives. Not only can the initial perception be an occasion of sin itself, but also once stored in the memory, one never knows when the stored impression will find their way, the impressions will find their way into the intellect and produce bad thoughts. Either when they are awake or in dreams when they are asleep.
Okay, so again, it's that computer language, garbage in and garbage out. They say one of the great problems of the growth in the pornography industry is that if a person gets that into their memory bank, then it's so hard, almost impossible, to keep it from replaying at various times. And so the best situation is don't feed that garbage in, and then it won't continue to be replayed time and time again when a person's really trying to live a upright life and follow Jesus. So
once there, it's always there. There's no way to delete it. You can't push a button and, you know, delete
And erase it.
And erase it, all these images that have been stored up into one's memory. And not only that, not only does our own subconscious or unconscious operate, let's say in dreams or even in consciousness, but when we're trying to pull these things out, of course, using our will, then that's when we're really getting over into the area of sin. We're not careful. And not only that, but the devil can get in there, or demons can get in there and manipulate these images that we have in our stored up in our memory banks.
And it applies, of course, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but about injuries. If we keep meditating on the injuries or harm or bad things that people have done to us or said to us, our imagination can replay those tapes, replay those videos, and they even get better as we play them. They get stronger as we play them. So I think we're going to talk about that in just a little bit.
Well, of course, what Father Amon is doing here when he tells us to have custody of our senses is that control it before it ever gets there.
Okay.
Don't read certain kind of things. Don't listen to certain things. Don't do certain things. Stay away from certain atmosphere, certain conditions, certain people, certain situations, and don't allow these kinds of things to, enter into our memories, stored up in our memories in the form of images.
I think the church's wisdom is kind of put that under the phrase, we need to avoid the occasions of sin, people, places, or things that have led us into sin, and that could easily do so once again. And that's where we have to have some mastery, self-mastery, self-control of what buttons we're going to push to let our imagination run those colored movies in our mind. Okay, let's talk a little bit, Ron, if we can, about reading matter. Because sometimes, you know, we say, oh, I can read anything, or I can, whatever I study or see in books or magazines, it really doesn't bother me. What can we say about that?
I'd like to add to reading matter, movies and videos, because all of these can produce images. And, of course, when you're talking about the imagination, we're talking about the development of and the use of images. When Father's advice is to be prudent in selecting this various types of matter that we view through our senses. And this requires that we not only avoid reading evil matter, but also matter that fills our minds with useless images. I think that's very important. with useless images. Well, there's nothing wrong, you know, with light reading for relaxation on occasion. But I don't think that we should make it a practice to fill our minds with useless images either. And probably, you know, people that I know, a lot of times they sit around and read all kinds of novels and this and that and the other, which, you know, they do it for rest and relaxation or whatever. But Father's warning us that even all this useless information can be detrimental, of course, to our spiritual lives. And on the other hand, good spiritual reading can contribute a great deal to the proper use of the imagination. So often, you see people watch empty, worthless movies. They don't have to be bad movies or anything like that, or bad books or whatever as such, but It's just a lot of useless things that they're reading and filling their minds full of, which they could so much better do if they picked out some good books, Lives of the Saints, or, you know, especially those kinds of things.
Sure.
It doesn't all have to be a religious, matter either. But
I just like to encourage your statement about Lives of the Saints. I think one of the greatest influences in my life was reading Lives of the Saints, like St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Joan of Arc, St. Patrick, St. John the Baptist. But they say that so strengthens our imagination, these wonderful examples of heroes and heroines of our faith. And if you remember, it was when Ignatius of Loyola was shot down in a battle and his leg terribly shattered, and he was in the castle with nothing to read, recuperating, that he got a hold of some of the Lives of the Saints, and he began to read them because there was nothing else to read. He was a great reader of romances. But it literally changed his life. And after he got well, he went up to the monastery of Montserrat and hung up his sword at the statue of the Black Virgin and said, I've been following the wrong examples. So the Lives of the Saints can have a powerful, powerful influence on any of us.
Well, I think they inspire us to be holy. And at the same time, they show us how to be holy.
Wonderful.
So both of these things, I think, are very important. And I'm not saying that, you know, people have to read nothing but the Lives of the Saints or whatever. They're good novels. They're good all kinds of history. There's a lot of wonderful things that people can read that will they can store these things up into their into their memory banks that can be not only pleasurable in itself, but at the same time can be very useful in their growth of holiness and helping other people to grow in holiness.
And there is a limited time to read. So why not read some of the better things with the thousands of books that are out there announcing that, please read me. Well, what about the idea of the duty of the moment?
Let me add one more little comment that about Father made about this in regard to reading matter. And then I'll answer that question. Father tells us that we should develop the practice of reading holy and profitable material so that the imagination will be positively directed to holy things.
Okay.
And then going back to your question, paying attention to the duty of the moment, this is another one of Father's his advice. What he's saying here is developing the habit of paying attention to the duty of the moment helps us to concentrate our intellectual powers and to discipline the imagination by preventing it from being distracted to other objects, especially sinful objects. You know, there's an old saying that goes, idle hands are the hands of the devil. And I might add that an idle mind is also in the hands of the devil, if we're not careful.
I've heard that an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Yes, that's right. I'd forgotten that one. Since idleness is one of the primary sources of dissipation or distraction, always paying attention to what we are doing can help us remain profitably engaged.
Okay, if I could back up one moment to another beautiful saying I've always been impressed by in terms of what we read. Marcus Aurelius, one of the great Roman emperors, although a persecutor of the church, said the mind is dyed the color of its thoughts. And I've always been impressed by that, because if we have the great Teresa of Avila said similar things. She said, if we think courageous thoughts, God will enable us to do courageous deeds. So what we're putting into our mind is going to have a profound influence on the color of our thoughts or the actions that come forth.
Yeah, Marcus Aurelius is an interesting character because he was a great philosopher in a lot of ways, a very wise man in a lot of ways. He was, I believe, a Stoic, if I recall right, as far as his philosophy was concerned, and a very virtuous man, even by Christian standards in a lot of ways. And he was one of the good emperors that Rome had. He thought, though, that the Christians were subversive and were destructive, potentially destructive of the Roman virtue and the Roman way of life and what have you. And so in his own mind, he thought this was true, and he did everything he could, of course, to wipe out the Christians. He was just as much of a persecutor as the Christians had been, evil men like
Nero.
Nero, yes.
That's tragic, isn't it?
Yes,
a man
it is.
Of such good qualities and character would still have that blind spot.
Yes.
Well, you know, another famous saying from the Latins or the Romans was about this concentrating on what we're doing, be able to focus our energy, was age quod agis, do what you do. And it just meant, well, if I'm praying, pray. If I'm working, work. If I'm playing, play. But that if I can do what I'm doing, then I'm going to have a focus, which is very hard to attain, whether it's in studying or praying or whatever else it is. But they used to press that over and over again in seminary. Age quod agis, do what you do. Be live in the present moment and not always be crossing bridges around the corner or around next day or next week or next month.
Well, you know what happens if you don't live in the moment. A lot of times people let their imaginations go wild. They think about the past or they think about the possibilities for the future. And a lot of times they don't always think about good things about the past. Maybe some bad things that they've done, and particularly if you begin to enjoy these things, if you feel sorry for them, that's one thing. But on the other hand, if you begin to enjoy these thoughts or if you think about things about the future, the things you'd like to do, it's fine if they're good things, but unfortunately, that's what we mean. If you don't purify the imagination, then we may have these bad thoughts instead of good thoughts.
Alcoholics Anonymous always encourages persons not to keep going back into the past. They call it drowning in self-pity. Because it can almost be an addiction, what terrible things people have done to me and said to me and the like. So get rid of those resentments, because from an AA viewpoint, it will lead a person back again into the bottom of the bottle or to addictive drinking.
I think what Father's saying here is pay attention to the duty of the moment. It's just simply keep busy. Keep busy on good things. Keep focused on these things. And don't spend a lot of time daydreaming. Don't spend a lot of time thinking about the past. Spend a lot of time thinking about the future. I mean, you know, we should do just more than just simply live for the moment. That's not good
either.
You
have to plan for the future.
Yes, you have to plan for the future, of course. And obviously, ultimately, our future in heaven. And that takes, but that you have to pick up your cross daily, and not just something that you do. You think of this one day at a time. I recall when you go to your confessions, you have a little Matthew 14 or somewhere.
Matthew 6:30.
6:30. You always quote right at the beginning. How does that go now?
Well, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can take care of itself. One day's trouble is enough for one day.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, it's from Jesus, Matthew 6:30. Well, how about ignoring distractions? That's always been an important way to keep focused, because there's going to be distractions.
Well, it's difficult in this society where our senses are constantly being bombarded with stimuli. We can make every effort to ignore them. And this is easier, said than done. this is easier than trying to combat them directly. Father Almond tells us that, quote, it is impossible to keep one's mind and heart fixed on God, even in the midst of involuntary distractions. So we've got to work at ignoring all these distractions and try to, work for focus, to work for recollection, to work for composure, not just simply for prayer or, to be able to participate in the Mass, but I think everything that we do.
If we're at a meeting, trying to pay attention, keep our mind on the subject. I know many of the great saints talked about distractions, whether it was in prayer or wherever. Treat them like flies. Just brush them away gently. But don't get so focused we're trying to kill them with a brick. Don't kill them with a cannon. Just do our best to brush the flies away and don't pay too much attention to them. Okay, well, the last faculties that we're going to talk about is the purification of our memory, one of the great gifts that I guess we don't appreciate until we see somebody who is beginning with a problem of Alzheimer's, or perhaps they're deeper into that and can remember very little things, or just can't remember very many things at all. So how do we help purify or keep our memory on the right track?
The memory is defined as, quote, the power or process of reproducing or recalling what has been learned, end of quote. It's a storehouse of information that has entered into the soul via the senses or is processed by the intellect by reasoning, or in some cases maybe even some infusion, by God. Sometimes a certain knowledge is infused into our souls, the faculties of our souls, and stored in our memory. If it were not for memory, our minds would be empty. You could say that the memory is the filing cabinet of our souls.
Oh, I like that. And I hope my memory is better than some of my files at home in the office.
But since the memory stores both good and bad knowledge, it must be purified of course, the bad knowledge. Although our lives, throughout our lives, we acquire knowledge that is of no use or even harmful for the sanctification of our souls. And a lot of this information destroys the peace and tranquility of our souls. And these are necessary in order for us to lead lives of prayer and recollection. In other words, we simply have to somehow purge these bad thoughts and bad images and things of that sort as well as we possibly can from our souls.
Well, what are some means that Father Almond suggests to get rid of these memories that, whether they're sinful memories or sexual images or hateful images or resentful images, angry images that come from the past?
Well, one thing he tells us is to forget past sins. This is the first step. According to Father Almond, dwelling on these can cause us new temptations and dispose us to sin again. So that's where he starts out. And then he tells us to stop thinking of past injuries. Even if we have forgiven others for past injuries, the remembrance of their offenses will disturb our peace of mind and continue to present the offending party to an unfavorable in an unfavorable manner. You know, how's the old saying go, forgive and forget.
Forgive and forget.
And some people, you'll hear people say, well, I can forgive, but I haven't forgotten. and, you know,
it's hard.
Yes, it is. Once it's stored in your memory, it's there. So, but nonetheless, this is what he's really telling us to do, is to forgive and to forget. You know, God can do that perfectly. We have to really work at it. We can best forget offenses against ourselves by realizing that our offenses, this is Father telling us this now, mm-hmm. by realizing that our offenses against God are much greater, and to remember his promise that he will forgive us our trespasses only if we forgive others their trespasses against us. And we'll never reach sanctity or union with God by holding grudges.
That's probably one of the most dangerous sentences in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. So I think Jesus had an awful lot to say about forgiving our enemies, because it's something hard for us to do. And you know, there's that famous Catholic saying, pray and get away. two little things. When I'm tempted to think about some past injury or fault or failure that was done against me, then to praying for the person that caused it, and then get my mind on something else. Don't fight it directly. Be like the bullfighter. Get out of the direction of the bull and let the bull go by, rather than trying to say, I'm not going to think about this, I'm not going to think about this, I'm going to stop this bull. Okay, I like the other suggestion that Father had about remembering benefits from God.
Well, this is an excellent way to direct our memory to God. And away from, you know, our problems and those who've offended us or hurt us or even our own sins or whatever. Remembering the many benefits we have received from God, such as the times He has pardoned us, He's protected us from danger, exercised loving care over us. These are excellent ways to arouse our gratitude toward Him and to increase our desire to cooperate more faithfully with His graces. Father Amon says that if to this we add the, quote, the recollection of our disobedience and rebellion, of our ingratitude and resistance to grace, our soul will be filled with humility and confusion and will experience the need of redoubling its vigilance and its efforts to be better in the future, end of quote.
Okay, so we may take one more. I think we have a little bit more time. What about Christian hope that Father talks about?
Yes, he tells us to consider the motives for Christian hope. He says that this is one of the most effective ways to direct our memory to God, and for detaching and purifying it of contact with earthly things. The memory is the foundation of Christian hope, which is the virtue of remembering eternal happiness with God in heaven. Hope helps us to despise and detach ourselves from the things of this life and to raise our hearts and minds to God.
Pope John 23rd, a blessed memory, used to say that famous quote from Scripture, I think the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come. So he was taking his mind off his present problems as the Holy Father and keeping them on the green pastures of paradise and the great jeweled city and the land flowing with milk and honey, as Scripture so wonderfully describes life after death, seeing face to face God in eternal beatitude. Well, one other thing I wanted to throw in, and it's a little prayer I learned a long time ago. I don't know a whole lot of prayers of thanksgiving, but it's real brief, and it says, it's an old Irish prayer, thanks be to God for the light and the darkness. Thanks be to God for weal, or for good, for weal and for woe. Thanks be to God for His own great goodness. Thanks be to God, what is so. Now, that's hard prayer, but it's the type of thing that Teresa of Lisieux and many of the great saints would pray, because Teresa of Lisieux said, everything is a grace, everything is a gift. And if we can see it in God's loving providence, that sure helps us to be grateful. Well, our time is running out once again, so may God bless you always and in all ways.